The scripture reading this morning will be Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 32. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Good morning, church. It is great to be here and great to be with you this morning, and both in person and online, and glad to have everyone here who's with us in whatever form you can join us. We're grateful that you are here. This is a body of believers who've committed to be disciples. We as a body of Christ yearn to be more like him, and so we are devoted to discipleship, becoming more like Christ. And this is we don't go to church, we are the church. And as the church, the body of Christ, we seek to belong and to learn and to serve. And so glad you're all here to be a part of our worship this morning. Glad you're here in whatever form you can be. And we're continuing our discussion this morning on God's call to service. And like I said last week, in God's call to service, there's a wide range of opinions about that in the modern church, from all the way from that's Bible times, that's what occurred during Bible times, it doesn't occur in modern day, that's a thing of the past, God does call, and I've been called to, God does call, I'm afraid God does call, I'm afraid I don't know what my call is, and I don't know what God wants from me, I don't know what God's direction is for, I don't know what my place is here. I've even known people who would have an opportunity to serve come by them, and they would pass up an opportunity to serve because they were waiting to hear God's call. Yeah, I kind of want to think, okay, maybe the opportunity to serve is God's call to serve. So this whole big picture of what it's God's call to service and God, how God uses people, how God works with people, and how God calls people to service in his kingdom. One of the things that we're going to look at this morning, and especially in God's call to Moses, I think it comes out as well as anything, that the call is really about God more than it is about us. It's really about God's working through people than it is people coming to the table with the skills and the abilities and the talents to accomplish whatever God sets before them. Most of the time, when God calls people to service, he's calling them to service that's outside their comfort zone, that's outside their specialty, and that they feel completely incomplete to do. They feel like they're not equipped to do that calling. And so we're going to look at the fact that while Moses is called to serve, it's really more about God than it was about Moses. So to start with, God's call is obvious to those who are paying attention. That's a close one. To those who are paying attention, and I do believe in the modern world, God calls people to service a little differently than he did in the ancient world. I don't know of many blinding lights on the road to Damascus. I don't know of many angels that have appeared and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I don't know of many burning bushes that burn and don't burn up. So I think God's call is a little different. The manner in which God calls to service is different a little bit in the modern church. But I do believe if God's children are paying attention, God's call to service is obvious. So let's read in Exodus chapter 2. It'll be on the screen, but you're more than welcome to open your Bibles and join with me as well. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Exodus 2, 23. During that long period is the time that the Israelites were in Egypt. During that long period while the Israelites were in Egypt, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help, because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses. Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." We talked last week about a pattern that follows in Scripture. It's not a hard and fast pattern. There are some variations to it. But a very common pattern of how and when God calls people to service in Scripture. And that pattern usually comes when God sees a need, a kingdom need. God finds a kingdom need and chooses to respond to the kingdom need. And that's true here. The Israelites have cried out to God. His people are enslaved in Egypt, and they've cried out to God for deliverance. And so the second part of the calling, God sees a need and calls someone into service to address the need. And that's exactly what happens here in chapters 3, beginning in verse 1. God calls Moses into service through the burning bush. Now, I want you to notice, if you still have your Bibles open, look in chapter 3 and verse 1, and notice what Moses is doing while he's waiting for this call to service. He's sitting in his upper room, he's studying his Bible, he's reading and praying, waiting for tonight. He's not doing anything, so his schedule's open when God calls. No, he's going about life. He's doing life. I go back to Todd's class on the number 40. He has spent 40 years in Egypt, in the palace, with the royal family, getting a royal education, and seeing firsthand the inner workings of how Egypt works. Now he's moved to Midian, and he's tending his father-in-law's sheep 40 years there. And if you notice, it says that he's led them to the far side, the other side of the desert. He's got 40 years. By the way, Midian would include part of the Arabian Desert. He has spent 40 years learning how to shepherd a flock in a wilderness that's less than inviting. 40 years learning the inner workings of Egypt. 40 years learning how to shepherd a flock in a difficult environment. And now at 80 years of age, he gets a call from God. "Moses, I've got a job for you." When God does finally call Moses, Moses is not left to wonder if God has called him to service or what God expects of him. That's very important. He's called to service by God, and he knows who's called him. He knows what his job is. Chapter 3, verse 10. "Now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." A couple of very important points there. Well, if the biblical callings are any example for the modern church, you and I don't have to wonder if God calls us to service or what God wants us to do. We talked last week about the scriptures, the household codes in Ephesians 5 and 6 and in Colossians chapter 3. If you're a husband or a wife, there's some very clear expectations laid out for you in Scripture. What is your calling as a husband and wife? If you're a parent, in those same household codes, and there's some other house or partial household codes elsewhere in Scripture, there's some very clear expectations of what God's calling you to as a parent, also as a child. If you're a worker or an employer, there's some very clear expectations. What's God calling you to? So God's calling you to live life, to use your gifts, your talents, treasures, and time in a way that glorifies God. You go to Titus chapter 2, and there's some expectations there that I think fit very well with what this congregation has been aiming for and what our elders are aiming us at. In Titus chapter 2, verse 2, there's the calling for older men, and that is to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. If you're a member of Glenpool Church of Christ and you're a lady who's had some been around for a while, you've kind of you're mature, young at heart. Say this well. There's a calling for you. God has an assignment. God says, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to be. Titus 2, verse 3. To be reverent in the way you live, not to be a slanderer, addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And so there's a call for those of us who are empty nesters, or if we have been blessed with kids, they're out and about, they're on their own, and now we're in a different stage of life. There's a call for that. There's also a call for those who are still young and still growing and still have a lot of the world ahead of them. In Titus 2, verse 6, older men are instructed to teach the younger men how to be self-controlled. Let me finish this thought. Titus 2, verse 4 and 5, the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and children, how to be self-controlled and pure. By the way, self-controlled comes in both those. And as I was looking at this and studying it and reading it, I couldn't help but think of Devin's last quarter class here in the auditorium. And he laid out for those of us who are at further down the road than others, what's our call to mentor, to serve. And talked about this morning. God bless, we have another baby on the way. I absolutely love it. There's two things I love. I absolutely love we have a baby on the way, and I love it somebody else's. I love both of those. I get the best of both worlds. I get to have those babies and play with them and enjoy them. I get to send them home with mom and dad. What a blessing that is. But we were called by one of our elders in the class, those of us who are on the other side of that, we were called to come alongside these moms and dads and to serve them and to support them and to encourage them and to be a support network for them. And I just was looking at that in this call to service, thinking, how well does that fit that our spiritual leaders have looked at the congregation, they're seeing what God's doing with this body of believers, and they're saying we as a body of believers need to respond to that. If God's going to entrust this congregation and the young families in this congregation with these children, then we as a body of believers need to embrace that. Let's come along and let's support and encourage and help any way we can. What a wonderful call that is. And then we have a biblical evidence in Titus chapter 2. Here's your job. Teach and encourage us, those of us who are down the road. Let's encourage those that are coming. Now, for those of you who are still youngsters, your call is to be open to us gray hair or no hair folks coming along and trying to encourage. It doesn't mean you have to take every piece of advice you're given or every piece of information that you're told. But be open to the fact that the rest of your church family wants to be supportive and encouraging and wants to be a part of what you're doing in raising those children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So at the very least, discerning God's call is not an issue. We have scriptures in the Bible that says here, if whatever your stage in life is, here's a role for you to fulfill. Here's a role for you to play. And then sometimes God puts kingdom issues on our hearts and our minds that won't let it go. I suspect if we were to take a poll, and I won't ask you this, but I suspect if we did, how many of you here this morning, either here or online, either one, how many of you present this morning have had some kingdom issue, some kingdom person, some kingdom need on your mind in the past month? In the past week. And I think a significant number of us would say, yeah, I've had so-and-so, you know, this person's been on my heart. Or I've got a neighbor who's asked a question about the Bible and it's been on my heart how to answer them. Or there's some ministries that we want to get kicked back up in this congregation, and that's been on my heart. I really believe God puts things on people's hearts and says, here, this is you know, when somebody comes to me and says, David, I've got a really great idea for the church. Now, I'm not the one to do it, but I've got a really great... I go, oh, hallelujah, God's put something on your heart. That's a call to service. I think that exists here in the church today. So our job is, at the very least, to live productive and loving lives. And when God does call us, that we are receptive to that. I'll share just real quick. I fall in that spectrum to where a calling is of the early church, not of the modern church, to maybe it is, but I don't know what it is to. I think there is a calling, and I believe I've been called. I'm in that latter group, and I'll explain. I tell people, for most of my life, I was a normal person, give or take. Then I went into ministry, mid-30s. At mid-30s, there's this nagging. I hate to say that, but it's just a nagging. Are you on the trajectory that you really, is the trajectory you need to be on? What do you want on your tombstone? Are you on the trajectory to get on your tombstone what you think ought to be on your tombstone? And Jenny and I talked about it, we prayed about it, we discussed it, and over a period of at least 2 years, maybe into three, we kept feeling like we were being led into ministry, and we kept telling God, we kept saying, that's not what we want to do. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be in ministry, we want a normal life. Ministry is very, you're very exposed, you're very open, you're very out there, and neither one of us find that comfortable. And ministry expects you to be outgoing, and neither one of us find that comfortable. But you look back on it, and as I look back on it, I notice that God spent a decade preparing us for this, at least, or our whole lives, but a decade really in intense preparation for this. And he worked through Jan to do it. He worked through her job to put us both in the right part of geography in Texas, where when he got ready to go to preaching school, there were two preaching schools to pick from within a 45-minute drive. He worked through Jan's job to put us both in a situation where we both had to deal with our introverted tendencies and had to work with people in a way that didn't come natural, wasn't comfortable. And when we finally relented and said, okay, at 37 years of age, for the first time in my life, I said, God, you do whatever you want with me. In the past, I've always said, God, I have a really great plan. I've thought it through, and I just need you to rubber stamp it for me. Sound familiar? Finally, at 37, God, I'm yours to do with as you wish. I said, I think this is the way you want us to go. There's a preaching school in Dallas. And I said, if that's the way you want us to go, then I'm gonna start heading down this road. We're going to head down this road. And if that's the way you want us to go, then make it happen. And if it's not the way you want us to go, then just slam the door in our face. Please, slam the door in our face. And pieces fell into place. We lived 45 minutes from Jam's work, 45 minutes from the preaching school, 45 minutes from the school that put us to work with me preaching on Sundays. And it all fell into place. Now, I'm not saying I'm God's gift to anybody. I'm not saying I'm a good preacher. But I do feel like God called that service on our family. So I'm of the camp that I do believe God calls people to service. If we're paying attention, if we're listening with spiritual ears and spiritual heart. So the idea here is God's call is obvious if we're paying attention. Now the question comes, and this is where Moses and I get along really well, arguing with God. The question comes is whether or not we're going to answer the God's call, at least in the affirmative. Let's look at one more scripture here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3 and pick up in verse 12. Or verse 11, I'm sorry. Exodus 3:11. By the way, the third part of the calling, the first one, God sees a need. The second one, God calls someone into service to address the need. The third one normally is the person who's called into service objects, I'm not the right person for the job. And Moses does not disappoint, right? Exodus 3, beginning in verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I'll be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Moses, I'm going, great, I get the sign afterwards. Can I have the sign now? Can I get a little preview here? You remember the call for Abraham and Sarah. Can you just give me the GPS coordinates to where we're going to land instead of just telling me to start? So here's the objection. Moses does not disappoint. The first objection, who am I? Verse 11. Now, I think this is fair. In fact, I think most of Moses' objection come from a genuine heart and a genuine concern. I don't know how this is going to work. If you remember, and we're told about it in Acts chapter 7, beginning of verse about 23, if you remember, Moses has already tried to be a deliverer for his people. And he believed at the time that he was trying to be a deliverer for his people that he was sent by God to do that. So this tugs already on his heart 40 years earlier. There's already, God's already planting the seeds. He saw two of his Israelites who were being abused by an Egyptian slave driver, and he comes to their defense, ultimately killing the Egyptian. And the next day, he's hoping that the people will see that God's trying to work through him to deliver them. And what do? Well, you're going to kill us like you did that guy yesterday, and so he flees. So I think the who am I question from Moses is legit. Hey, God, I've already tried that once. It didn't work out very good. So who am I to do that again? Have you ever heard an objection in the church like we tried that once, didn't work? We tried that back in 1906. It didn't work then, so there's no reason to think it's going to work now. That's kind of Moses. I tried that 40 years ago. Why would it work any different now? I think that's legitimate. And the fourth part of the calling is when God gets an objection, he gives a reassurance. And it's very true what happens here. The objection is, who am I? And God says, I'll be with you. Now, I want you to notice in these reassurances, God is continually telling Abraham over and over and over again, it's not about you, Moses. It's not about you, Moses. It's about me. God continually, it's not about you. And that's what the message that we need to hear in the church today. When God calls us into service, it's not about you. Even those calls we did in Titus 2, the older women, the older men, the younger men, the younger women, the calls in the household codes, fathers and parents and kids, kids and parents, teachers, it's not as much about you, it is God working in you and with you and through you. So I'll be with you. It's not about you, Moses. It's about God. And I think what he's really saying when he says, I'll be with you, he says, this time will be different. This time will be different because I'm with you and this is your time to answer the call. Now, according to the pattern, this is where Moses accepts the call and goes about his business, but Moses isn't finished yet. In fact, if you look at Moses, it looks like he may reject the assignment, which is his God-given freedom to do so. But objection number two, who are you? Well, that's a legitimate question. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, who is it? What is his name? Then what shall I tell him? To me, this is a very sad state of affairs. Moses has spent 40 years with the Israelites in Egypt. I think Moses has a pretty good sense of where they are spiritually. And I think Moses knows when the God of their forefathers comes to deliver them, their first question is going to be, we really don't remember the God of our forefathers. I think that's a statement of the spiritual condition of the Israelites in Egypt. And so, legitimate, who am I? Well, it doesn't matter who you are, God's with you. Well, okay, then who's with me? Who's this God? And God gives him assurance to his second objection. He says, I am who I am. God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. That's who you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Not the God who will be, not the God who was, not the God who's coming into his being, the God who's going his way out, the God who always has been, the God who always will be, the eternal forever God. That's who's here. So you tell him that. You tell him, I am that I am. Surely now, Moses is going to answer the call, but no, he's not done yet. Objection number three, what if they don't believe me? God responds with more assurance. He gives him three miraculous signs. There's a staff that turns into a snake. There's a hand that becomes leprous and then becomes clean. And then there's also the water that's turned to blood. And so there's three signs that God gives Moses to prove. Now notice, God never once says, hey, you've had 40 years of training in Egypt. And you've had 40 years of training as a shepherd in a difficult terrain. You're primed for this. He never once says that. He says, I'll be with you. I am who I am. I'll give you these signs. I'll give you these tools. I'll give you these things to work with. And Moses is like, okay. He's like, well, I'm like Moses. I'll put it that way. If I can argue with God for 2 years over whether he wants me to go into ministry or not, I can't be too critical of Moses with five objections. Objection number four, I've never been eloquent. I'm not a good speaker. This is not my calling. This is not my gift. This is not where I'm comfortable. This is not what I do well. This is not how I'm built. And in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, God says, I know how you're built because I built you. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? And in Exodus 4, verse 12, it says, now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. It's all about God. I will do this. You go, I'll take care of this. In fact, a lot of translations say, I'll be with you and your mouth, and I'll be with Aaron's mouth. By the way, another objection overcome. And he does say that. He also says that he's going to send Aaron as well. It's not about God. It's not about Moses. It's about God. And God's even willing to adjust his plan. If you notice, he says in chapter 4, verse 14, Exodus 4, verse 14, that the Lord tells Moses, what about your brother Aaron? The Levite, when Moses says, my mouth doesn't work so good, he says, well, what about Aaron? Your brother Aaron, the Levite. I know he can speak well. This is God saying, I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you. Don't you love that? God is solving the objection before the objection is ever versed. My mouth doesn't work so good. No problem. I'll be with you in your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. And by the way, Aaron's on his way already, and I'll teach Aaron what to say. I'll be with Aaron's mouth. It's not about you. It's not about Aaron. It's about God, if you'll accept the call. And so he says in verse 15, Exodus 4, verse 15, you shall speak to him, Aaron, and put words in his mouth. And then God says, I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. I'll be with you and I'll be with your mouth. Moses still has more objecting to do. There's one more objection. And basically he says, just send somebody else. Now, I believe the first four were legitimate arguments. I think God looked in Moses' heart and saw that these were genuine concerns that Moses had, and so he gives a genuine answer to those concerns. I'll be with you. I am that I am. I'll teach you. I'll be with your mouth. I'll be with Aaron's mouth. I will guide you. You just take the job. I'll get you through it. I think this last one was less of a concern, but basically a voice of rebellion. I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. And to this, God has a completely different answer. It's not, I'm comforting you, I'll be with you. It's not that. It's just, he's mad. Exodus 3, verse 4, verse 14, the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Maybe there's something there for us to learn from. I believe God gives you and me the freedom to accept or reject God's call on our lives. At the very least, God's calling us to use our time, our talents, and our treasure to his glory, whatever that means, wherever you are in your life. If you're just about to graduate high school, if you're just about to start elementary school, if you're homeschooling, if you're about to get married, if you're celebrating your 50th anniversary, wherever you are, I think the initial call for every one of God's people is to use your time, talents, and treasure that God's given you to his glory. But I think most of us, a lot of us, also are called to serve in specific times in specific areas to meet specific needs within the church. And when that call comes, we can object if we want to. It's too hard. It's too scary. It's too risky. And when God calls you into a service that's scary, that's hard, that's risky, understand, it's not so much about you as it is about him. Why? Because he says, I'll be with you. You answer the call, I'll equip you to take care of it. You answer the call, I'll make sure you get through it. I'll be with you. Well, okay. But I really don't want to answer the call. I'm settled here and I don't want to go there. Or I'm not happy here. I want to get somewhere else. I've seen both of those. And God says, if I'm calling you to service, I'll go with you. If it means you need to be somewhere else, then go somewhere else and I'll go with you. You won't be alone. Well, okay, I really don't want to answer the call because I've tried it before and it didn't work. Or I've never tried it before and I'm not sure it will work. And God says, I'll teach you. It's not so much about you, it's about God's call and what are you going to do with God's call. Or I don't want to answer the call because, and you fill in the blank. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. This is not what I'm comfortable with. This is not my gift. This is not my talent. This is not where I'm comfortable. This is not my niche. I'm just now retired, and I want to spend some time enjoying what I want to do finally for a change. I'm having a new child come into the house, and I've got other obligations that I've got to meet. I'm working on my career. I'm about to go to college. I'm working on my degree. You fill in the blank. My programs are on tonight. I don't want to go. Please send somebody else. And God says, it's not about you. It's about Him. And I think the problem for some Christians today is we just don't want to be bothered. I've done that. I've taught class for 100 years now. It's time for the youngers to take over. Well, I'm raising a family. It's time for these retired folks to kick in and really take care of things. But I don't want to do it. And for those who say, I don't want to do it, God does not take that well. Send somebody else, I don't want to do it. And the one thing God won't tolerate is rebellion. He could say, here's your job, take it or leave it. But He doesn't. He works with you. He could say, here's your job, and I'm going to make you do it. He doesn't. He says, will you answer the call? He could say, here's your job, but I don't think you can do it, and so I'm going to leave you to fail. But He doesn't. He says, I'll go with you wherever you go. And so the call this morning is to be open to God and to His plans for our life. Brody read a scripture for us out of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love the Lord and who have been called according to His purpose. God works all things for the good for those who love the Lord and been called according to His purpose. Church, we have all been called according to God's purpose. And for the longest time, I thought, you know what that means? That's going to mean God's going to lay in front of David Gray a list of, here's five things that need to be done in the church. You pick the one that best suits the time you have, the talents you have, and what's comfortable for you and what you want to do. You just pick one of those and run with it. Stupid me, I thought that's what God's going to do. Somehow or another, there's going to be a list of things. I'm going to get to pick which one I like best, what fits your schedule. That's not the way the calling works in Scripture. The way call works in Scripture is because God says, there's a need. It's bigger than you are. It's harder than you are. It's tougher than you are. But I'm going to call you into service for the need. Imagine Moses, 40 years in the prime of Egypt. I mean, you think. Washington, D.C., Paris, France, London, England. 40 years at the seat of power in Egypt, and he's lived the big life. And now he's found a very comfortable life tending his father-in-law's sheep in Midian, and he's happy with life. 40 years there, and at 80 years of age, God finally says, I got a job for you. And Moses is like, no, I really do like it here. I'm kind of comfortable. I like my life. I'm 80 years old. And he gets called to a job that should take about 4 months, and it takes 40 years. It should take 4 months to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. But they took the scenic route. It doesn't matter if you're 40, or if you're 80, or if you're 120, or 4. It's not about you, it's about God. And if God lays a kingdom need on your heart, if God lays a kingdom desire on your heart, if God lays somebody on your heart, the answer is, are you going to answer the call? The question is, are you going to answer the call? And ours isn't to worry, do I have what it takes to succeed at this? The thing is, do I trust in God enough to answer the call and let Him work in me and with me and through me to accomplish whatever He wants me to do? In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. That's our invitation to you. If we can serve you in any way, and maybe God's touched your heart some way, maybe you've had something on your heart you can't get rid of, and maybe you'd like the prayers of the church as you answer this call to service for God and His kingdom. Maybe you'd like to give your life to Christ. Maybe you'd like to come back to Christ. Maybe there's something on your heart we haven't even talked on today. But if we stand and sing, if this church can serve you in any way, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.